Over the past three Sundays, we've been thinking about instances from the Bible of people having great influence on the story of God's people, even though they may not be of great stature themselves. For 2 weeks, we looked at the story of Naaman, a Syrian commander who had leprosy. His wife's servant girl suggested that he consult Elisha, God's prophet in Israel. And later, when Naaman had done so, he was offended because Elisha didn't make a fuss of him and because he had told him to wash himself in the Jordan River. Naaman felt that the rivers of his own country were far superior, but an officer in his own army suggested to him that what Elisha had advised was easily done and that he should try it. And sure enough, Naaman was cured. Two people of very humble standing had helped God demonstrate his power. And last week we thought about the woman at the well. In the eyes of Jews, God's chosen people, everything was wrong with this woman. She was a Samaritan and therefore an heretic. A woman, a sinner, and an outcast. And yet Jesus chose her as the one person in the entire gospel story to whom he revealed most explicitly that he was the Messiah. And she believed him, and she testified to her neighbours, who were not just Gentiles, but in Jewish eyes, heretics. These narratives about people who seem utterly unsuitable to testify should remind us that we are all vital to the body of Christ. So let's listen to what Peter wrote in his first letter, 1 Peter 2. Verses 4 to 9. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honour. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honour, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognise the honour God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stones that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the rock that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Peter designates all Christians as royal priests, a holy nation, God's own possession. And that's actually a quote from Exodus 19, where God sets out to Moses his covenant with the Israelites. Under the Mosaic covenant, the promise was just for Jews. But here, Peter applies it to his primarily Gentile audience. Here, Peter emphasises that under the new covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all Christians, irrespective of race and so on, are God's people. The temple in Jerusalem was built so that Jews could worship God in the only right place. And that, incidentally, was their main quarrel with the Samaritans, who, after their separation from the southern tribes who formed the kingdom of Judah, began to worship on Mount Gerizim instead of the temple in Jerusalem. But here, Peter is presenting the entire Christian community as the new spiritual temple built on the foundations of Christ, the cornerstone. And Peter here is talking about the Christian community, not about Christians as individuals. Of course, we are individuals, but God intends to build us up together as living stones into a spiritual temple. God no longer lives in a building in Jerusalem. He lives in and among his people by his Holy Spirit. So every single Christian has a part to play in God's kingdom. Every single Christian can testify to our Lord Jesus Christ. And every single Christian is important to him, one of his own people, one of those whom he has called, not just as followers, but as friends. One of the things that every single one of us can do, every single one of us, is pray. A few days ago, our country passed a very terrible milestone of 100,000 deaths from COVID-19. And that isn't just a number. That's 100,000 souls. 100,000 people who someone loved and who loved their families and friends, who were important in someone else's life. And 100,000 people who were known to God and who were cherished by him. And of course, so many more than 100,000 people who are bereaved and grief-stricken. Every one of us can do something to support those people. If we know any of them, we can reach out and offer them kindness and love. If we're fortunate enough not to know someone who has died or been bereaved, we can still do something incredibly important for them. Because one thing we can all do is pray. In response to this terrible milestone, the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have asked everyone in this country to pray. Starting on the 1st of February, that is tomorrow, they ask us all to set aside time every evening, preferably at 6 o'clock, to pray. It doesn't matter what faith we follow. It doesn't even matter if we have no faith, because nearly everyone in an extreme situation will pray. Prayer is an expression of love, and we can all show love for one another. We can pray for those who are bereaved, for those who are sick, for those in frontline services who are exhausted. We can thank God for the hope we have in the vaccine. And as we pray, let us remember that God's kingdom is truly for everyone. So we must remember to pray for countries where there are few medical resources, for countries which haven't been able to pre-order millions of vaccine doses. For this is truly an instance where no one is safe until we are all safe. And at the same time, we mustn't forget that last Wednesday was Holocaust Memorial Day. A remembrance of what happens when we forget that God values all his people equally. The people who survived the Holocaust are dying out now, so it's even more important that we all remember that God is love and that we are all precious to God. The spiritual temple is built from the community of Christians, but it is open for everyone. There's a wonderful verse from the prophet Zechariah. Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord of heaven's armies and to ask for his blessing. So let us pray. Almighty God, as we remember before you the thousands who have died from COVID-19, as we commemorate the millions of Jews who died in the Holocaust, and the many people today who are persecuted because of their race, religious beliefs, or gender, as we remember the millions who are marginalised and disadvantaged in our world, we ask you to surround your people with your compassion. And we ask you especially to hold in your loving arms all who mourn. We remember and we trust absolutely that the names of each of your suffering children is written on the palms of your hands. Be gentle, Lord, with those who grieve. Sustain those who are ill. Protect those who despair. And Lord God, pour your Holy Spirit out on your suffering creation. Help us to love all our brothers and sisters. And remember, each one is known to you and precious. Give us your grace so that we may go forward, not just with perseverance, but with hope, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we pray. Amen.